Chapter 1. I watched as Jake strode across the street and held a gun to the head of a man dressed in black leathers. Just as he reached for the biker's collar, the director shouted, "Cut!" Everyone on the set started moving around. Jake rolled his shoulders to relieve the tension of his role before coming back to our side of the street for notes. He winked at me as he passed. "I told you it might be boring, Charity." He had no idea how much fun I was having. It might be boring for him. Acting was his job, after all. He would be just as interested if he joined me on a stakeout. At least, that's what I told myself. Now that Jake and I had found a balance in our relationship, okay, maybe I should say now that I had learned how to be the happy girlfriend rather than the bitchy one, I could relax and just watch him act. Also, kind of sexy to know that my boyfriend could act the badass, but was really a caring guy. We were filming in New Westminster, the oldest suburb of Metro Vancouver. Down on Front Street, where studios filmed everything from 1940s noir remakes to post-apocalyptic thrillers. Cool and shady, a scent of the working river mixed with the bitterness of diesel from the trains and trucks. Before I could decide whether to get a snack or go for a walk, wailing sirens caught my attention. A few blocks away, three cop cars pulled up in front of what I had assumed was another abandoned storefront. As I watched, the cops entered the building, hands on guns. I slipped out of the chair and strolled toward the action. If there was one thing I found more interesting than watching good-looking people act, it was solving crimes, which is why I finally decided to be a private investigator when I grew up. Or, at least a year ago. I'm not sure I'm grown up yet. Incoherent shouting drifted down toward me. I heard a woman's voice and then at least two men. I'd heard a few arrests, so I knew that the yelling was an intimidation tactic. As I listened, wondering what to do, I heard, "Freeze!" Only one word, but what worried me was the escalation in the tone from argument to orders. I had this feeling a witness was needed to keep someone from getting killed. The woman's voice lost the edge of panic. I could make out the words now that I was closer to the door. "I didn't do anything." I knew that voice. It was one I hadn't expected to hear again, one that raised a complicated mix of happiness and annoyance. Val sounded as determined as ever to get her way. "Put your hands behind your head." "I called you," she said, anger or frustration sharpening her tone. "That's fine. Now put your hands behind your head." The cop's voice remained calm. "Look, I didn't kill him. You need to stop hassling me and do your job." Val was mad. The click of handcuffs cut off the next words. One of the cops escorted Val through the door. She hadn't changed much in the year since I'd seen her. The hooker clothes had been replaced with a pair of cargo pants and a pale gray t-shirt with a logo too small for me to read. Her hair was bleached and pulled into a tight ponytail, and she looked about 10 pounds too thin. The street smart veneer was still in place as she looked up and met my eyes. A flash of rage before she recognized me. "Charity, what are you doing here?" She said it as if we'd met in a store, no indication of the situation she was in. She didn't ask for help, but then again, she'd hated having to ask last time. "Hey, Val, what's up?" I tried to match her tone, light and unconcerned, but resentment of how she'd left me last time burned. "Ma'am, please clear the way." The cop shoved Val past me and reached to open the cruiser door. "What happened?" I wasn't going to let Val disappear again without getting some explanation. "Officer, why is Miss Way in cuffs?" I ignored the grin on Val's face. She was in trouble and acting the smartass wasn't going to help. The cop took another step. "Please move away." I pretended I wasn't intimidated by stiffening my back and standing firm. I need to know what is happening with Miss Wei. Are you a lawyer? No, but you have her in cuffs, so I assume you aren't just taking her in for questioning. The cop firmed his lips and gave Val a shove toward the car. He wasn't going to respond. Val twisted in his grip. My client was murdered, Charity. They think I did it. The cop put his hand on Val's head and forced her into the back of the cruiser. Is she under arrest? He looked at me with narrowed eyes. No. He wasn't obligated to tell me anything, let alone the truth. Despite his denial, I could see that Val was going to need representation. Then she doesn't have to go with you. You can tell that to her lawyer. Val stared at me through the window. The sass and hardness vanished with the slam of the door. The sudden look of fear in her eyes reminding me she was still a teenager. Val, don't say anything, and don't make the situation any worse. I'll get you a lawyer. I turned back to the cop. Where are you taking her? The station is on Columbia and 6th. If you get her a lawyer, they'll know what to do. He walked around to the driver's door, got in, and drove away. Val didn't turn to look at me. I pulled out my phone and then realized that before I found Val some legal help, I needed to know more about what had happened. I looked at the doorway they'd come through. I wasn't hopeful, but maybe I could get something before the other cop sent me away. Stepping quietly across the threshold, I noticed it was some kind of office. Two desks in the open area, a small closed-off cubicle, and a door to the washroom in the back. No back door. In this part of New West, the back of the building was often bedrock. This didn't look private enough for Val to service a client. I didn't have much hope that she'd found a new way to make money. One of the remaining cops held up his hand to stop me. Ma'am, you need to step back outside. I didn't move, and he wasn't ready to force it. What happened? Do you know Mr. Shell? The other cop put down his radio and moved toward me. Your name? No. Oh dear. I saw a body in the corner propped into a sitting position. The blood on his chest and the angle of his head confirmed that he wasn't in need of medical attention. I'd seen this kind of thing before, but maybe playing the innocent bystander would get me some sympathy information. The younger of the two cops walked toward me with his hands spread like he couldn't decide if he was going to have to catch me as I fainted or herd me out onto the street. I turned and left before he could get to me. I put a block between me and the crime scene before I called Lou. Val's going to be arrested for murder. Can you get her a lawyer? There was no doubt in my mind that she hadn't done this. The problem was that the cops couldn't risk letting a viable suspect go free. They had to worry about the eventual trial. I only needed to get Val free, which gave me more opportunities.